Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Worst case scenario, we're going to overtime.
Jokic just screen Murray to try to break the tie.
No timeout by the Lakers. They got to go.
James, a bump, a feed, a print shot. No! Zeros on the clock. The Nuggets advance. They have won. And the defense of their championship title is alive and well.
Ah, the great Kevin Harlan on the call. So are we going with Jamal made another shot or Jamal made a shot again? Because after he made the first one, Anthony Davis is like, well, Jamal made a shot. Well, he made another shot. Another game winner. Man, Mr. Clutch.
Tell you what, Jamal, well, what did he have, 32 last night? On a gimpy calf. And a night where the Nuggets did not, again, shoot well. I mean, I started feeling bad for Caldwell Pope. Like, that dude was just, I think he was 0 for 6 before his first one went down. Little layup. This is 1 for 7. And then he hit that big three-pointer. And I was like, thank goodness, because he had, I mean, you want to talk about a guy that has zero confidence when he's about ready to pull the trigger. It's been bad. But, yeah, Murray was awesome. You know, the high screen right to the hoop and just lays it up. Did he shoot over?
No, that was – I think it was Reeves this time.
Yeah, I think you're right, Reeves. But
– but the Nuggets advance. They advance. It was a gentleman's sweep, but it was a hard-fought series. That was not your typical – five-game series. They trailed again at the half, so they ended up trailing after one in the first four games. Actually led after the first last night, but trailed at the half in all five games, and then just methodically came back. It was a terrific fourth quarter. Both teams just back and forth, exchanging shots. Just great playoff basketball. And once again, it's the Nuggets executing down the stretch, and the two-man duo of Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray working together. Michael Malone didn't want to call a timeout, didn't want to allow the Laker defense to get set. He says, I'll just let these two guys. We had enough time for everybody to get to their spots.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was Nikola and Jamal doing weaving their magic.
And then Jamal, go make something happen.
Man.
It really was a great series. I'll give the Lakers a ton of credit, man. They played their butts off. They just don't match with the Nuggets, but they played their butts off. And you know, like you said earlier when you walked in this morning, they'll always have the in-season tournament banner, so
they'll always have
good for them.
They'll always have the IST, the in-season tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I look back on that, by the way. What a
crock.
What a clown show. Like the way they reacted to that. Spraying champagne, wearing the goggles afterwards. Anthony Davis. By the way, prayers for Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
I hope he survived the night in intensive care.
I'm sure that, you know, next year he'll be playing with a big old something on us. Look how bad my shoulder is, guys.
And let's also mention that the Nuggets grind out the victory, clutch victory, with the refs, the league. It's got to be the league. It's got to be the league. There's just no other way to explain what goes on in these games with the free throw disparity. In a tight, hotly contested, mostly half-court game, the Lakers took 27 free throws. The Nuggets took 9.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is... Reggie Miller was trying to explain it away. Like, well, you know, they've got more points in the paint. He's like, this is typical Lakers where they're going to get more because, you know, they spend so much time down in the paint. They've got more points in the paint. So, you know, you're going to draw more fouls. So he explained it away, not that it was a mandate from the NBA, but he explained it away as, you know, these guys are just better in the paint. And that's why they go to the foul line so much more.
Great line from Michael Malone after the game. Ah, Nikola Jokic. Didn't miss a free throw. Was 0 for 0.
Yeah.
The soon-to-be three-time MVP, who took 21 shots from the field. 21 shots.
Yeah.
Only five of them were three-pointers. So the majority of his work was done
inside.
Inside. Took zero free throws.
Zero free throws.
Zero free throws. Which, you know, to me, I'm not complaining about it. It just makes the win even sweeter.
How many did Anthony Davis? Anthony Davis didn't take many free throws, as I recall, last night.
He took two.
Yeah.
But Lakers are no more. The Nuggets win. They advance.
Look how sad Brian Windhorst looks. Look at his face.
Oh, God, it looks so sad. They did
looks
this.
Looks like Eeyore.
Right before we came on, they did about a five-minute, there's no other way to put it, like a eulogy for the Lakers season. Oh, so sweet.
Yeah.
Just so sweet. And to know that this Nuggets team, as Nugget fans, not only are you enjoying what you're enjoying, the championship, all that, but on your watch, you have ended the Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Golden State run, and you've ended the LeBron run in L.A. It would not surprise me at all if LeBron forces his way out and plays for somebody else. Looks around and says, I can't win here. I still got basketball left in the tank. I want to go somewhere where I can win. I would not be shocked at all if he forces his way out of L.A.
And there's no question he's got – man, that dude is a whatever you want to say about LeBron, you know, and you can say it all. Duke can still play, man.
Yeah, but he just—I don't know. You're right. You're right about all that. But throughout this series, the complaint about the officiating the other night, then yesterday he blamed so much of what happened to the Lakers on injuries. Darvin Ham did the same thing, blaming injuries. It's just the loser's lament, man.
Yeah,
and it just makes it even sweeter. Just makes it even sweeter. So, the series against Minnesota, which I believe is the Western Conference Finals, that the other side of the bracket, I don't see it. To me, this is the Western Conference Finals, and Timberwolves will be a handful, no doubt about it. So, game one comes up on Saturday here in Denver. Goes Saturday, Monday. And then 4 days off before you shift to Minnesota. So don't have the times or anything like that, but can tell you that the series starts on Saturday. Both teams are going to be well rested as Phoenix closed out, Minnesota closed out Phoenix the other night. Nuggets closed out the Lakers last night. So both teams are going to have the rest of the week off before they tip it off on Saturday.
Rogue, do you feel sorry for the Lakers tonight? Did you lose sleep? Did you cry last night?
Yeah.
You
I
did?
Was up all night crying.
Yeah?
I looked like Windhorse.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Coming up, Az fans, how you feeling about Game 5 tonight? Is it a closeout night against the Jets? And as we get used to the idea of Bo Nix as the hopeful franchise quarterback, time to get to know some Bo. We'll do that as well next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
There's a team effort. You know, I can go and put 2 points at the end of the game, and that's all, you know, a lot of guys talk about. But, like, my teammates, man, like, I'm not the only one that's working out there. So, my teammates... I've been just doing a great job of just sticking with it, even when they're not making shots or stuff's not going our way, you know, just finding a way to win an extra possession or get an extra stop. That can be the game right there. You know, sometimes making the shot is the easy part, you know, this is stopping LeBron freaking James. You know, like, can we do that? You know what I'm saying? So that was a challenge today.
Jamal Murray possesses the clutch gene. Hard to find in sports. Really is. You got a lot of professional athletes out there who had the big contracts, who had the great sneaker deals and all that stuff. They don't want any of that late game smoke. They don't want
the pressure, the responsibility of stepping up in big moments. Nope, let somebody else do it. Jamal Murray, Mark, bring it on. And he becomes the first player in NBA history to hit two game-winning shots in the same series with less than 5 seconds left.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
There's a stat for everything.
There is a stat for everything. Yeah, he wants all the smoke.
Yep.
No fear. Zero fear. And, you know, he is right. Like, their ability, their resilient nature, Mike, their ability to, and the turnovers they had in the first quarter, like, their ability to fight through adversity and to continue on that path. And think about, listen, man, if I'm Caldwell Pope, I'm not taking another shot. When I hit 0 for 6, I'm like, somebody else can shoot this ball. And he plays super hard, and he's hustling on defense and doing all that stuff. But to maintain a level of confidence, to get a wide-open shot and just say, hey, man, I'm the next one, the next one, the next one. I'm going to knock it down. And there's very few people that they can have that poor night shooting and still feel like, I mean, he throws one up in the lane that it's a 8-foot bunny and it falls 2 foot short and Joker catches it and puts it back for a two. But like, there's just times where things, like, it's a lid, there's a lid on it for him, and he still had the nuts to stand at the 3-point line and knock one down late.
All that playing with the sore calf that was. If you listen to both him and Michael Malone talk about it, it was truly a game-time decision. And Malone and the coaching and training staff didn't want him to go. Didn't want him to go. But Murray talked his way into it, and, well, it's a good thing that he did. I mentioned that LeBron James might be ready to force his way out of L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Force is the wrong word. Tap out of L.A. is the way to go. He does hold a player option for next year, but if he turns that down, he can become a free agent.
Right.
So force his way out of L.A., wrong word. Tap out of his L.A. experience. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's the same.
I can't wait to hear the LeBron to the Knicks rumors start to percolate.
Oh, he's leaving. He's going somewhere, right? You don't think he stays in L.A., do you?
First of all, they clearly keep bumping in, running into a ceiling that is the Denver Nuggets, and Nuggets aren't going anywhere. I can see LeBron saying, "I got to get out of the West. If I have a chance to win, if I'm going to have a chance to win one more championship, if I'm going to chase a ring, I can't do it in the West."
Yeah, no, there's no question about that. I mean, this is especially with look what Minnesota's doing now.
Oklahoma City's coming up. Yep. So, congratulations to the Nuggets. Game one of what I'm calling the Western Conference Finals, because that's what it is. Their series against Minnesota. Coming up game one on Saturday. Avalanche game five tonight with a chance to close out Winnipeg. Where's your level of confidence?
My level of confidence is high right now. After that first game, my level of confidence was way down. My dauber was down, Mike. But it's high right now. And it's the onslaught. The offensive onslaught. I mean, the Avs are playing on tilted ice. The shots on goal. I mean, outskating the Jet. I mean, it just everything. Possessing the puck. And that's not going to change anytime soon. And they've done that where McKinnon hasn't been the big shot. He's been the third or fourth guy.
Oh, of their forwards, Nathan McKinnon has been their third best forward, and Mikko Rantanen has been their fourth best forward. Val Nichushkin and Tori Lehkonen have been
their two
best guys up front.
Yes. So, and then, you know, their ability to play the 200-foot game, again, is amazing. So I got tons of confidence. Gentlemen's sweep.
Avalanche, by the way, like a reverse gentleman's sweep.
Yeah.
Lose the first game, win the next four. Avalanche, by the way, easily the top scoring team thus far in the Stanley Cup playoffs with 22 goals. Edmonton is next with 18. And then it drops off after that. Rangers 16 and some other teams there with 14. Although Florida, after their six goals yesterday, they got up to 20. But still, the Avalanche the top scoring team in the NHL. And if you've been following these games, you can see it. They are just coming after Winnipeg in waves. As we get a chance to get to know Bo, just call this segment today a chance to get to know Bo. Bo Nix, the hopeful new franchise quarterback of the Denver Broncos, and certainly comes here with those Drew Brees comparisons and Sean Payton with the experience of working with Brees.
Yeah, it's very surreal. You know, I grew up watching Drew Brees. I grew up watching Coach Payton coach. I watched their Super Bowl. I knew, you know, the efficient offenses that they had and, you know, how well they worked together. And honestly, you know, in college you learn, you're with so many different coaches, that relationship is so important. And so it's one that every quarterback and play caller and head coach need to have together. And, you know, I'm excited to be around him. I'm excited to learn from him. You know, everything he tells me is something that I'm probably not going to know. So I'm going to do the best to take it all in and, you know, apply it to the field.
So let's just strip this down to brass tacks, okay? Sean Payton believes he has his next Drew Brees, correct?
Correct.
So from this point forward, we're fine with Bo Nix, Drew Brees comparisons. We're not going to shy away from them.
In terms of
just style, traits of Bo Nix that
sure
they're Brees like.
You know, there's going to be things that he does that Drew didn't do. You know, things he likes that Drew didn't like, and vice versa. But yeah, you've got your, you know, when we talk about fit. Quite frankly, he's the best fit of all the quarterbacks. Because, obviously, Peyton Manning sees the Drew Brees in him, and he's got those traits. So, yeah.
Did you just say, Peyton Manning?
Sean Payton?
Did you say Peyton Manning or Sean Payton?
I don't know. There's too many Peyton.
There's too many. By the way, it sounds like what we learned over the weekend is that Peyton Manning is always at Dove Valley. He's basically a consultant. He's you know, for everybody who is like, you got to get Peyton Manning into the organization. It sounds like kind of he is.
What does he do over there?
He's just there.
Do you ever think he leaves and they're like, what the?
Yeah.
Who invited the guy?
Right.
It's like America's Guest.
Right. Are you going to tell him or do I have to tell him?
Right. Hey, Peyton, we're going to shut out the lights. Hey, on your way out, can you lock the door? What's he doing?
I don't know.
Just hanging out.
Getting in a workout.
Wandering around.
You know, popping into the office. Hey, how you doing? Yeah.
What's happening?
Want to look at some film? He must be driving him crazy. His wife can't wait to get him out of the house, and Sean Payton can't wait to get him out of the house.
Right. Just hanging out over there.
Yeah.
Getting a free lunch.
It's the least you can do, right?
Right.
I assume he's not on the payroll, so at least feed the man.
Think he's over there lifting?
I don't know. Does he lift? Or do you think he's just kind of like in a little cardio?
I think he probably...
A little lift?
I think he does a little lift.
Yeah.
Just to keep it taut.
Taut.
Just keep it taut, like Bednar's Heine.
Yeah, that's right. Low weight, high reps, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Morning Brew, coming up next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
Nuggets eliminate the LA Lakers in Game 5 last night at the SAC, 108-106. Jamal Murray, all he does is hit game winners. The game winner with just a couple seconds left. The Lakers threw up a last-second heave. No good. Nuggets win. They win the series in 5 games. And Jamal Murray, 32 points, 28 shots. Forget about the calf. He probably had to ice his elbow after the game last night. But it was in question whether or not Jamal Murray would even play last night.
I felt like I could. And they just didn't want me to risk it. They told me no. And I didn't say no.
So, as somebody who I know played through a lot of pain and a lot of injuries, how does that go? Ultimately, especially in the big games. I get it, maybe a regular season game. Sorry, Jamal, you're not playing. We're overruling you. But typically in a playoff game like that, is it left to the player? Yeah, the coach, the staff, the training staff will put their 2 cents in, their recommendation. But ultimately, if the player says, I'm going, does he go?
I mean, it depends on the injury. You had a calf strain.
You just said that dripping with a little bit of condescension right there.
Well, it's a calf strain. I mean...
Yes, but you're playing basketball with it. You're running up and down the court. You're jumping. You're elevating. You're not playing guard.
Yeah, you are playing guard in the NBA. Well, you know, it's a lot less physical.
You know what I mean?
It's a lot less physical. You're not pushing
different
on
guard.
People. It's calf strain. Yeah, listen, man. Toughness, you know. Yeah, they're worried about further risk of injury. You know, what are the odds, all that kind of stuff. You play the odds. Hey, man, listen, adrenaline takes over, you play. You've got however many days now. You got till Saturday to treat it, right? So, you got a bunch of days to treat it. You'll be all right. Yeah, no, I mean, he's a player. He wants to play. And it's not one of those, this could risk your future type of thing. It's not a Gabe Landeskog thing.
Right, right. Mark Schlereth. It was a calf strain. Just dripping with...
Well, it was. It was a calf.
It was a calf strain. Michael Malone, though, very, very thankful to have Jamal Murray in those big moments.
Let the best two-man game in the business play their game and get to their spots. And for Jamal to add to his playoff lore by having two game winners in a series is just incredible.
Boy, you saw how tight, how well coached, how disciplined, how the continuity for the Nuggets is really set with that starting five. Because when Jamal had the ball and is bringing it up, did you just notice how everybody just immediately went to their spots, basically ran to their spots, got set, paused, and then let's go. And then it became the two-man game of Jokic and Jamal. No timeout. You know, most coaches in that situation, they call the timeout. You know, they start furiously, you know, scribbling on their grease board. Mike Malone has the luxury of just saying, you guys know what to do.
Right.
Go do it. I'm not going to get in your way.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of coaching players like that you know you can trust and you know they know what they're trying to accomplish. And it's not like you haven't gone through it a million times. You have, but yeah, when you call that timeout, you allow the Lakers to sit there and kind of, you know, game plan you. In the NFL, it's down on the goal line when the defense lets you line up and then calls a Polaroid timeout so they can see exactly what you're in. You know, and then do you come out in the same stuff? Do you change the play? Do you get out of something you like to do something else? Just let's play. Don't give them a chance to think about it. Let's just go play.
Next on the Morning Brew, Avalanche and Jets Game 5 coming up tonight. I was called out by a Az fan on the RamosLaw.com text line for saying that Arturi Lehkonen and Val Nichushkin are the top two Avs forwards ahead of Nathan MacKinnon and Mikko Rantanen. And texter said, well, what about Casey Mittelstadt? He's been even better than MacKinnon, and it hasn't even been close. All right, I'll throw that out there. You know, as Casey Mittelstadt's been really good.
Yeah,
I mean, please don't mistake me, but it's still Nathan MacKinnon. I mean, Nathan MacKinnon is still the, you know, oh boy, you know, guy out there that you're game planning for Nathan MacKinnon in a way that you're not game planning, all due respect, for Casey Mittelstadt. And so I would still rank the forwards Lehkonen and Nichushkin 1-2.
Mm-hmm.
Then MacKinnon, and then how about MacKinnon 3 and Mittelstadt 3A? Would that be okay, Zach Bye?
Can you do
3A?
That?
Can I do that? 3
Yeah,
3A?
I'm with you. Like, hey, Mittelstadt's been great, but you're talking about Nathan MacKinnon. There is a game plan. He is that war daddy guy that when you line up, there is a, you're saying, hey, man, we're not going to stop him completely, but let's try to eliminate some shots. Let's try to, you know, put a body on him. Let's try, like, that's who you're dealing with, right? So, yeah, Middlestat has been great, though. They've all, I mean, their forwards have all been, what they've done, the onslaught that they put on, meaning that game they lost, they scored six. So the onslaught they've put on has been, it's been a clinic. It's been incredible.
Yeah, they lead the playoffs in scoring, and what makes it even more impressive, they're doing it against a team that they struggled against during the regular season, 0-3, gained outscored 17-4. A Winnipeg team that was number one in the NHL and fewest goals allowed. They got the goaltender in Connor Hellebuck that's going to win the Vezina Trophy. And so they're just tearing them apart. Tearing them apart. Next on the Morning Brew. Oh, man. Throw out the records, please, when the Miami Marlins and Colorado Rockies get together, will later today in South Beach. The combined records for these two teams. You want to take a crack at this? The Marlins and Rockies?
I'm going to say Rockies have won 7. Marlins have probably won 6. So they got 13 wins between them?
They do. 13-45.
Not bad.
And by the way, the Rockies continue to... We got our own history-making streak that we need to follow with the Rockies. As the Rockies now are the first team since 1910 to trail at one point during their first 28 games of the season.
So they've trailed
at least at one point.
In every game.
In every game.
They are mad. They have heard it. They are sick about it. How's
You gotta get angry. You gotta get mean.
How's Iron Man doing? And by the way, whatever came of Kyle Freeland's shoulder injury?
I don't know.
Is he? Where's he at?
He's tired.
By the way, the Rockies trailing in all 28 games to start the season. First time since 1910. And only the second time in the history of baseball. So, hey, ladies and gentlemen, your 2024 Rockies.
Setting records.
Making history. That'll do it for the Morning Brew. Bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Mike Kliss is going to join us coming up next. A lot to unpack from the weekend that was with the draft. We'll do that with Mike next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
Mike Kliss is our 9 News Broncos insider. He joins us now on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Mike. Congrats to Jamal Murray and the Nuggets.
Hey, you've covered a little bit.
Yeah.
You've covered sports for a long, long time, right? A lot of different sports.
Yeah. Yep.
When you see somebody who clearly possesses the clutch gene that just embraces those moments, is there a common thread that connects these athletes that seem to thrive in those moments?
You know, it's interesting. It's my favorite trait is coming through in the clutch. It's why I think, despite all his problems, I think Curt Schilling should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame, because he was one of the three best big game pitchers I ever saw in my lifetime. Bob Gibson being number one to show how long I've been watching sports. Jack Morris was another, and Curt Schilling. I thought, man, you know, like Randy Johnson, he was on the same staff as Randy Johnson, and Johnson was better, except for big game, give me Curt Schilling. And Dante Bichette had that trait with the Rockies. He was the best clutch hitter I've ever seen with the Rockies. And, you know, Larry Walker was a better overall player, but in the clutch, Dante was better. And, Dante was a different thinking guy. I don't know Jamal Murray that well, but, I do know this, the one common thing is they want it. Jamal wants the ball in the clutch. And, Dante wanted to come up to the bat, and Curt Schilling wanted the ball. That's about the only common trait I can think of.
Yeah, speaking of clutch guys, how often does Peyton Manning hang out at the facility? Like Mike was just telling me, he spends a lot of time at the facility. What's going on
there? What's his role?
Yeah. Did he take over Russ's office?
I don't know that he spends a lot of time at the facility. He might shoot some commercials over there, but he doesn't. He does not spend a whole lot of time in football operations. He doesn't break down tape or, you know, he says hi and talks to everybody when he's around. But it's not like, you know, I don't think he does deep dives into the roster or anything like that.
This draft, when you look back on it, first of all, every team comes out and says they got their guy. Did the Broncos get Sean Payton get their guy in Bo Nix, or did they go into this draft with the idea that they would try to come away with J.J. McCarthy?
No, it wasn't J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy came about from Paul Allen. That's a broadcaster for the Minnesota Vikings. And one thing I've learned about this draft is if Paul Allen is your source, you better get another source. Yeah, he was wrong. And the Vikings, he must have had the Vikings thinking that way too, because they traded up one spot and gave up quite a bit to move up from 11 to number 10. Obviously thinking either the Broncos or the Raiders were going to take J.J. McCarthy. But it's clear, guys, that Sean Payton, from that private workout March 18th in Eugene on, Bo Nix was his guy. George Payton told me after 10 to 15 throws, Sean Payton came up all giddy and excited and said, this is the guy. The top two, they really didn't, you know, their top two was Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. After that, Bo Nix was Sean Payton's guy. Bo Nix was the Broncos guy more than Derek May, more than J.J. McCarthy. And I know people have a tough time believing that, but, you know, that's the truth.
Yeah, it's just really interesting. I think that the fit is what feels interesting to me. Like,
yeah,
there's
that's
some,
what it is.
Yeah, there's some kind of Drew Brees qualities. Is that what you come away with? Some Drew Brees qualities that really attracted Sean Payton?
I think, you know, they're all smart quarterbacks, but I think Bo Nix was the smartest quarterback. The reason why Sean Payton liked Bo Nix is they talk the same language. You know, when you talk to Sean, he does some deep dive stuff into football jargon, you know, and he said a bunch of words this last year where I was like, what does that mean? What is that word? Mark, you would know what that means, but you know, guys who didn't play football at the NFL, you know, don't know what he's talking about. Bo Nix, as a coach's kid, you know, and a quarterback coach's kid, you know, when those 3 hours they spent with him, you know, I think blew Sean away. And then he watched the tape first. He liked him on film first, but then the confirmation with the meetings is what Sean did. And you're right. I guess Jim Miller, who I talked to, is a quarterback guru. He called Bo Nix a poor man's Drew Brees. And that's what you have to consider him, you know, at least till you get closer to however many yards, 75,000 yards or whatever Drew Brees threw for in his career. But, I think this is Sean Payton's type of quarterback.
Mike, let's join us. Mike, got about 45 seconds left. Quick two-part question. Are the Broncos shopping Cortland Sutton, and is there still a chance that Justin Simmons could return?
They are not trading Cortland Sutton. I think we'll see what happens on the mandatory minicamp. I think he'll stay away to the mandatory minicamp, and then we'll see where it all is. And Justin Simmons, I don't think so. I think they're moving on there from him. They got his replacement, and Brandon Jones and PJ Locke, they like. They want him to be the starter too. So I would say no on Justin Simmons.
All right, Kliss, man. Have a great day, buddy. We appreciate you.
Go get him, guys.
Mike Kliss, our 9 News Bronco insider on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Hey, the Fan Flyaway is back, and with our local team now one more round deeper into the playoffs, increasing the odds that they'll be there in the finals. We want to give you a chance to go see one of those games in June. Two tickets to a game, round trip airfare for two from Denver to a destination to be determined. Two nights hotel, $500 spending money from us. Head to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register. Claim your special offer from Sport Clips. Four Down Territory coming up next.